Hey there, guys, my little outlaws, Zeldy. As promised, I'm going to read three chapters from the Three Capote books today. I'm not going to do a lot of jibber-jabbering because this isn't the kind of podcast to where I'm going to be talking about characters and doing this and that. I'm just doing simple readings today. So, first off, I'm going to do a reading from Hood of Sedna. Then I'm going to follow it up with Coveted Hood. And then the final in the trilogy, Jagged Little Hood. So this part that I'm reading from Hood of Sedna, those of you that have read it, it's right after she shot, Rowan nurses her back to health, and being what Stevie is, doesn't listen to reason, just takes off, does whatever she wants to. However, she ends up running into some pretty dangerous company. So here it goes. This is chapter 33, Hood of Sedna, A Capote Adventure Series, Book 1. Stevie's horse trudged through the muddy pathways while she looked overhead to admire the typical murky skies of Washington State. Here the sun was a rarity, especially these past few weeks. She laughed to herself, believing this was all some strange dream, and eventually she'd wake up. Rowan, I know you're watching me because you have nothing better to do. Look, I'm writing, and there isn't a living soul around to torment me. She shook her head, still befuddled as to why the strange man lingered. Her calm was shattered when she sensed a pair of eyes looking at her from the forest. Another spy, this time a dog? Stevie asked herself, and as curious as she always was, she tied the horse to the tree and walked deeper into the forest. Where in the hell did you go, Stevie? Rowan groaned, annoyed that this girl never took heed to any warning. For someone to welcome danger as much as she did was borderline suicidal, and he wasn't going to sit by and watch her get herself killed. He stormed out of the warehouse, wishing at that very moment he'd mastered the skill of creating a portal. Rowan would try it, but knowing his luck, he'd end up in some foreign country or someplace barren like the Sahara Desert. He had to go by horseback. She was close enough, certainly, and he could make it on time to stop her irrational behavior. Hello? Stevie called out as she tread deeper into the forest. Her eyes widened when she came across a campsite. There were still embers in the fire pit, and bones scattered from one side of the site to the other. There was no doubt it must belong to Sebastian Corbeau. Stevie shivered at the thought of him living so close to her community. I know you're here. You were watching me, Sebastian. If you want to kill me, here I am. Stevie dared to come and attack when she had her weapons drawn. Arming the wristless, she was ready. Yes, she knew these 22 caliber bullets wouldn't stop this beast. Noticing she did not have her gun blade, Sebastian asked, "Where's your needle?" His voice hissed from behind her. He circled around her in his black wolf form, growling as though he could smell Rowan. "You smell like English lavender. Where is that traitor?" "He's not a traitor." Stevie gave a defiant glare, crossing her arms. "Fear smells good on you, Stevie Capote." He transformed back into a human in order to tower over her. "Why are you here?" "I was curious to see how a pig lives. Looks like I've seen enough. I'll be going now." She turned on her heel to leave before he yanked her closer to him. "You smell better. You must have taken my advice." She offered a mischievous grin. "Shut your smart mouth, Capote. You're supposed to be dead. I saw the marshal shoot you repeatedly." He smiled and she groaned. Despite him bathing, his breath was still enough to kill anyone. Stevie scowled, holding her own. "He shot me once." She tried to push him away, but he was too strong. "Oh, yeah, I must have played it in my mind repeatedly. You're so beautiful when you're in peril." "Truthfully, I haven't eaten in hours, and I am hungry for some rose-flavored Stephanie." Sebastian laughed. Stevie finally mustered up the strength to escape from his grasp, shooting him with both of her wristlets. As she predicted, it did nothing but anger him. Sebastian shifted back into a wolf and lunged toward her until a gale force knocked him into a nearby tree. Rowan watched as the animal lay still before pulling Stevie over to their horses. He said nothing. He didn't need to. Stevie knew exactly what to do. They raced back to the warehouse and he locked the doors, welding them shut in the process. "Pardon me. Now you're going to barricade me inside my own home?" Stevie cried in disbelief, her voice trembling. "No thanks to Sebastian Corbeau. If I need to chain you to the bed to keep you safe, then I'll do that too, Rowan said with a bow. If my duty to you is to serve as your protector, so be it. But you have this tendency of looking for danger, and I will not be there all the time to save you. I'm not asking for you to be my servant, Rowan Shaw. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. I could have handled Sebastian on my own. Stevie threw herself onto the bed, disgusted. Rowan carefully laid next to her. What are you doing? Making sure you don't leave? He sighed. Sebastian could have killed you. He talks a good talk. Stevie shrugged and looked at Rowan. Quit acting so brave with him. He was able to smell the fear. I can too, Rowan said, watching her. The terror in her eyes changed to a look of defiance, one he fully expected. Doubt that. I think you can smell Sebastian on me, and you're afraid of him. Rowan couldn't respond as Stevie raised her eyebrows. What he was thinking, well, I'm too much of a lady to repeat. He cleared his throat. Rowan was more taken aback now that she could read a warlock's mind, period, not just his. You put up a good front with me, Stevie. I can be as dangerous as Sebastian Corbeau. I just choose not to be. I'd rather use my magic for good, not use it as a crutch to gain power and instill fear in others. I think you're afraid for other reasons, Rowan said, taking her hand in his, not at all surprised when she pulled it away quickly. Stevie sat up on the edge of the bed, not surprised when Rowan moved next to her. I am aware of that, but I am not afraid of two warlocks who are fighting over me as though you're school-age boys. Who in the hell is Sabina, anyway? Rowan closed his eyes and cupped her face. Stevie swallowed the lump in her throat as he rested his forehead in hers. Oh, you smell so good, her inner voice told her. Stevie, what are you doing? You're crazy about this man. Just kiss him. The devil on her shoulder told her, no, you're not brazen. The angel on the other shoulder warned her. I am not the Virgin Mary either, Stevie's inner voice told the angel. The only thing he could see inside her mind was blackness, as if she was shielding herself from him. It wasn't possible that she was able to shield her thoughts from him when he had been able to read them before. Stevie, it makes me wonder if you're able to shield Sebastian. Rowan's eyes flew open to see the sheepish smile on her face, yet he could hear her heart racing and see her labored breathing. Not that I encourage you to get close enough to him to see. She smiled at him and moved across the room. I suppose that is a good thing. He didn't need to hear me debate about tasting his lips. The entire time Stevie was with Sebastian, she had been begging inside her head for anyone to save her and hating that she'd gotten off that stupid horse. Rowan chuckled to himself when she admitted earlier that she should have listened to him. Okay, that's Hood of Sedna. Stevie's kind of conflicted, I would say. Easy enough. All right, so Coveted Hood, like I said, that one is out in September. I am super jazzed about that one because I think it's pretty dope. So, you know, being that nobody's really read this one yet because it's not out yet, she's changed. She's gone through changes. And this is the day after when her and Sebastian get what Sebastian deems as an unwanted visitor. At this point, she's really not too sure, but she's typical Stevie. Now, mind you, she's got a Scottish brogue at this point in the book. I'm not going to subject any of you to that because I read it, you know, a chapter or whatever to my son the other day, and he begged me never to do that again. He said, Mom, your Irish is horrible. I'm like, it's Scottish, but it's still horrible. Okay, so here is chapter 23 of Coveted Hood, a Capoe Adventure series, book 2. All right. One of these days, that man is going to stop underestimating me and quit treating me like I'm stupid, Stevie thought as she pulled the hunter green cape off the coat rack and fastened it around her neck, before she armed herself with daggers and Sebastian's stash in the desk drawer. One of these days, you will actually stop putting yourself in dangerous situations, Sebastian responded with her telepathically. What are you doing now? Arming myself. Her simple statement was met by boisterous laughter in her head. Sebastian, you have no idea how paramount you are. I can guarantee you don't need any weaponry. She ignored him. It was better to be safe than sorry. After Stevie armed herself, she pulled the hood over her head and walked casually outside. The three men were huddled and didn't notice her, making it easy to sneak up on them until Gabriel turned around and opened his mouth as if he was ready to call her name. She shushed him silently with her finger held up to her mouth. Holding her hands out, she cast a shield on the two men and Jack the Cat, in case this stranger wanted to do harm. Uninvited guests seldom meet a welcome. Sebastian didn't hiss. Stevie hissed. Sorry about that. Rowan recognized her voice, although it was laced with the brogue now, but he couldn't see her face as it was hidden. Stevie? Is that you? He asked. Yet he couldn't see the look of surprise as she shook her head. I don't think this is funny, and I came here to warn you. As Rowan approached Stevie, both Jeremy and Gabriel gripped his arms. Let go of me, he snapped, leaning to Gabriel, gritting his teeth. You know me, Gabe. You know I won't hurt her. Say it's you. Go back a couple of days ago when you left her and she was killed, you idiot. Gabriel responded, tightening his grip on Rowan's arms. Stevie pulled the hood from her face and dropped the daggers. Gabriel, let him go. Sebastian said he is a friend and not a threat. I am Rowan Shaw. You don't remember me? He looked down and saw the ring on her right hand. He grinned and sighed. Of course you wouldn't remember me. You didn't know me back in 1654. Rowan? She's got no idea what year it is and where she's at, Gabriel whispered. Although I'm curious as to what she could do, I do highly encourage you to taunt her. I can't wait to see this all stalwart Stephanie Capuche in action. Aye, Princess Capuche is a forcible warrior. Ask any troll. I'd watch your back in case she has you confused with a troll, Jeremy laughed to receive a glare from Rowan. You don't have any sense of humor, do you? Stevie cut in. What's this nonsense you men are gabbing on about? 1654? Last I checked, it was still 1886, Stevie retorted. Did you think when Sebastian slipped the ring on my finger, I'd believe it was 200 years before? Well, I just assumed that you would revert back to 1654 before... never mind. I'm confusing myself even thinking about it, Rowan said while looking around uncomfortably, though he never took his gaze off of Stevie. Gabriel shrugged. Stevie glanced at the two bystanders. Will you two, Gabe and Jeremy, leave us be, please? They both bowed to her, muttering, Yes, Your Highness. Your Highness? Rowan asked with a pompous grin on his face. Come now, Rowan. You know who I was, Princess Stephanie Capuche. She held her hand out to shake it. Hesitantly, he took it, having no idea if she was toying with him. You stated you're not here to harm me. So why have you come calling? Stevie asked as the back of the cape flew up and Sebastian laughed as she struggled to keep her wings at bay. Blast this thing! She blurted out before pulling the cape off and tossing it to the side to reveal the stunning blue ombre, soft feathered appendages on her back. Rowan bowed to her and rose slowly, asking, I knew there would come a day that this would happen, Stevie. You are positively stunning, Rowan said, completely in awe of the beauty that stood before him. He was immediately captivated by Stevie, the fairy. His first thought before the wings were revealed was that she cleaned up well for Sebastian Corbeau, even though her beauty had always rendered him breathless. Stevie? Rowan called out her name once more. Wanting to have a bit of fun, Stevie reached out her hand and pointed. Bow to me, you insolent fool. She laughed and continued. I'd always wanted to say that. Rowan humored her and did as she demanded in turn, bowing for her. Even though she'd changed and didn't remember who he was, she still had her dry, imprudent sense of humor. Your Highness, I come as a messenger only. The moment Sebastian slunk from the bush he was hiding in, he shifted back to his human form and stood beside Stevie. Mr. Shaw, you may call me Stephanie or Stevie, whatever you prefer. We don't need the formalities. When she assisted him up, there was something familiar and comforting when his hand lingered in hers. Of course, Sebastian wasn't having it and removed her hand from Rowan's. That is overstepping boundaries, Mr. Shaw. So give me the message. For you and I both know that currently she has no idea what's been occurring the last 48 hours. Shaw? Sebastian growled as he wrapped his hand gently around Stevie's waist. Stevie looked at Sebastian out of the corner of her eye. Thank you, Sebastian. although last I checked I was able to speak for myself. Not in this respect, Stephanie. Rowan Shaw came with the intent to speak to me, and giving you information on something you know nothing about is pointless. He turned and whistled for Gabriel and Jeremy. Please stand over there with Gabe and that fairy. He couldn't remember Jeremy's name, and presently remembering a man's name was trivial. Sebastian lightly tossed Stevie toward Gabriel, who in turn wrapped his arm around her waist to keep her from moving. She broke from Gabriel and marched toward Sebastian, angry and embarrassed. How dare you, Mr. Corbeau, insult my intelligence in front of Mr. Shaw. Whatever he has to say applies to all of us, not just you. Rowan couldn't help the laughter that escaped his mouth. She may have been Princess Stephanie Capuche, but she still had that Stevie Capuche spirit. Not one other person could ever put Sebastian Corbeau in his place except for her, and that was another thing he admired about Stevie. Yet Sebastian ignored her huffing and held his hand up, moving her by force back over to Gabriel. Look, you mouthy wee lass. Stay over there with Gabe for your safety, if nothing else. She growled at Sebastian's demand. Is that better? I didn't insult you this time. Ah, go to hell, Sebastian, she called out. Mr. Shaw is not going to hurt me. Holding his hands out, Rowan silenced the two to let them know that he was not there to bear witness to a petty argument between lovers. Sebastian, Princess Capuche, Gabe, Jeffrey, Jeremy rolled his eyes. Jeremy, you daft fool. Rowan waved him off. That's not important, Mr. Fife. What is important is that if you all know what's good for you, you will get the hell out of here. Niall knows she's alive, and he will continuously send out Vader and his small army to ensure Princess Capuche is dead. Sebastian leaned into Rowan. Hence why I gave her the ring last night. What Hargrove is not privy to is that I could tap into his thoughts, even from thousands of miles away. I could see when he sends people. You truly have that gift? Rowan asked until Sebastian laughed and shook his head. Sebastian responded, still laughing. Of course I don't. I have to be no more than 5 miles from them to hear anything. We are thousands of miles away, aren't we? You men are unreal. You know I can hear everything, Stevie informed them and broke from Gabe's grip. Sebastian, you promised to take me home. I miss my mother and my da. Rowan's mouth gaped open and he looked at Stevie with sadness in his eyes before he glared at Sebastian. Gabriel? Ginger? Sebastian called the two over. Would you be so kind to portal Stephanie to the Highlands? Shaw and I will be following close behind. There was no argument for either male as they took hold of both of her arms, knowing she'd fight them. Stevie squirmed in their grip, feeling fearful without her man by her side. Growling, she broke from their grip and embraced Sebastian, kissing him tenderly. Don't be too long, Seb. She kissed him once more and glanced at Rowan. And be nice to Mr. Shaw. He seems a pleasant enough fella. I can't make any promises there, Steph, but I will hurry. He gave her one last kiss before he urged her to go with Gabe and Jeremy. It nauseated Rowan to see the affection she expended on Sebastian when just days before those same affections were with him and only him. Rowan anticipated this would happen, knowing that their past had come to the present, but he was hard-pressed to accept it. Sebastian made a kissing gesture to her and smiled condescendingly at Rowan. I'll be by your side soon enough, my sonsy lass, he called out, exaggerating the endearment, smirking at Rowan's unimpressed expression. Continue to rub this courtship in my nose. I know I made a mistake, but if you continue to do this deliberately to rile me up, I will ensure you will never procreate, Rowan threatened. Your idle threats humor me and don't affect me. You know this. After seeing what my magnificent brain held for over 200 years before, you should have expected me to be loving to her, although most times she warrants a proper spanking. Sebastian chuckled and abruptly stopped when he glanced at the alarm in Rowan's eyes. I was joking, for Pete's sake, Rowan. I'm willing to share her with you if that's what you prefer. That is demeaning, Rowan responded. Granted, the idea of sharing Stevie did cross his mind, although that would never happen. Stevie was not a harlot, and he knew in his heart that she belonged with Sebastian Corbeau. The only question he had to ask himself was whether she was safe with the temperamental shifter. Of course she was. Sebastian would never harm even a hair on her head, but damn to those who even try to harm her. Sebastian rolled his eyes and heavily sighed. I was joking about sharing her too. There is no way in hell I would ever think to let you have another chance with her when you blew it the first damn time. You left her alone without protection. exposing her to the dangerous elements that you knew were standing idly by, waiting to tear her apart. We are even then, Sebastian. You saved her life. Bravo to you. Nevertheless, you lied to her about your relationship, and I'm certain about other things, too. Stevie is going to go home to the ruins of her kin. How are you going to explain that one to her, Corpo? Rowan asked with a facetious tone. If there is one thing to know about Stevie, is that she hates to be lied to and knows when you're lying. Right now, she is blinded to your true intentions. She has no clue whether or not you're lying to her. Sebastian was in deep thought. He thought he was succeeding at stretching the truth with her, only to be proven wrong by Rowan. That is something I will deal with. You came to warn me about Niall Hargrove. That man is nothing but a tiny bug I could so easily squash. Steph also has suspicions about the Ginger Fairy. Sebastian said to Rowan, what about him? Are you jealous of him too? He's only looking out for her best interest, Rowan debated with him. He always had to have the last word with Sebastian and failed every single time. She blabbered some nonsense about the color of his wings. Sebastian was interrupted by Rowan. They're orange and quite brilliant, I might add. Rowan finished his sentence. Shut the hell up. That red-headed asshole is going to get himself killed just for being stupid with Stephanie. Sebastian blurted out, although surprised, when Rowan was in agreement and not defending his new friend. You can't just kill a person because of sheer stupidity, Corvo. Rowan held up his hands and laughed. Although I wouldn't put it past you. I suppose Jeremy needs to keep his mouth shut around you, and he better not cross his eyes or you'll rip his head off. Don't you think that Stevie would have issues with you randomly killing her old friend? She may very well retaliate against you. Have you thought of that? She won't hurt me. Sebastian responded and crossed his arms over his chest. You are nearly 7 feet of meat. You are not invincible. I can assure she could do quite a bit of damage to you. And I'm not sure I want to help you out in defeating her. Rowan simpered at Sebastian, which led to boisterous laughter when Sebastian stood there dumbfounded, feeling fear for dying at this girl's hands. Yay! Ooh. Okay, so I need to read the last one quick, because this little ink program only gives you half an hour. And my chapters are not short. Alright, so here's a little sneak peek at Jagged Little Hood, a Kapo Adventure Series, Book 3. This is actually Chapter 4. And, of course, after a lot, it's still a super awesome part. Stevie has become queen of the Sapphire Raven kin. She's a fairy. She's a princess. It's only natural. Sebastian, on the other hand, is not happy about this at all for other reasons. All right. So here we go. We have Chapter 4, Jagged Little Hood. So let me see if I can read this in less than 7 minutes. All right. Chapter 4, days later. Sebastian stood behind his own throne, resting his arm on the back. A man who held himself with such high regard would be honored to sit in a throne. However, he was a man who had higher regard for his queen and felt it was better suited for her. If something happened to you, would I automatically become king? It was an odd question. The glare from Stevie established that already. Are you counting on something happening to your queen, King Corpo? Stevie peered at him over her shoulder, giving him a sultry smile. Your mind is muddled today, love. Will I need to take you to our quarters and smite you? As tempting as that would be, Sebastian walked around the throne and sat down, placing the crown atop his head. We've got company. A lot of company. Half the kingdom was packed in the court as Stevie signaled Rowan to her. Was there a town meeting call that you didn't make me or Sebastian aware of? Stevie asked, standing up to walk closer to the hordes of people. Every Monday, the queen listens to any grievances the town people have. In this case, they are having issues adjusting to their king, Rowan said, and they both turned and looked at Sebastian questionably. He had been keeping to himself that they knew of. At least that's what he wanted them to believe. Stevie glared in Rowan's direction. What do you mean they're having issues with their king? Scanning the court, she could hear their thoughts about one of their kind teeming with dirty warlocks. Never mind, Ro. Their thoughts tell me what I need to know. I'll reason with them. She faced them with constraint as she walked the crowd, as Rowan trailed her, signaling for her minions to make room. Y'all are Sapphire Raven kin now. If you choose not to be, you know where the gates are. A collective gasp was heard. I'm not going to demand that you leave unless your naysayers prove to be a problem. Sebastian slapped his hand over his face, shaking his head with little faith in Stevie that she could appease these people. She was the leader over a community that loved her and respected her. At that time, she could never hear the thoughts of the Slumville residents. In this kingdom, it was more challenging. These were people licking their wounds and had no other choice but to blame their woes on a trio of warlocks. If you continue to think so negatively of my dictation skills, then by all means, take over, Stevie told him. Peering over her shoulder, she smiled to see him wave his hands for her to continue. I understand you've got issues with my king, my master-at-arms, as well as my right hand, am I correct? There was no response, and there was a feeling they were recoiling. That's what I thought. King Sebastian has been with me, in essence, for over 100 years. Lord Shaw is my most trusted advisor and friend, as Sir Gabriel is here to enforce the law. I trust these three with my life, and I expect y'all to trust them the same. We assassinated a very dangerous man who would have gotten you killed. I can assure y'all that we want peace and harmony just as you do. One of the local farmers raised his hand. Your Majesty, how do we know one of these corbeaux won't turn to wolves and kill our livestock? Sebastian laughed and approached the man. Would you give us any reason to shift into wolves and kill your livestock or your families? Stevie was slightly embarrassed and only looked forward, not feeling the need to feed into his building anger. She knew Sebastian well enough to know that it was his way of leading. As unorthodox and harsh as it was Sebastian. And she was not going to change him. The farmer twisted the brim of his hat between his fingers, visibly shaking as a huge warlock towered over him. Your Majesty, it's just we heard that your kind can lose tempers pretty quickly. Now, the question was from whom? None of these three would give these people any indication of his temperament. Their homage was to Stevie, and they were too professional and too respectful of her to slander her husband, their king, to peasants, or anyone else for that matter. The moment she heard this, she glared in Lord Peter's direction. He was an outsider, and perhaps he let this little tidbit of information out. Rowan, would you and Sebastian take Lord Peters to the back room and inquire about these accusations? Rowan did as he was told, yet Sebastian's complexion was crimson, and by the way he was clenching his fists, it was physically difficult for him to control his temper. Walking over to where he stood on the side, she placed her hands gently on his arm. He calmed down immediately. Sebastian gave her a gentle smile and turned his attention back to the crowd. I've got no reason to harm you or your livestock. You all need to trust us. I may be a hothead, but I can assure you that this temper of mine will come in handy when I need to protect any or all of you. Is that clear? The minions were afraid to answer him. Is that clear? His growl disquieted the entire court, and rather than a resounding yes he wanted to hear, there were frightened yelps and gasps. Sebastian, please join Rowan, and before Stevie could finish, he shifted into a crow and flew out of the castle. That was exactly the way I thought he would handle that. Don't mind my husband. He lacks social skills, but when he tells you that he will protect you to the ends of the earth, he means it. All we ask is rather than fear him, you need to respect him. One of the women called out, what if he has a mama like that and rips us to shreds, Your Majesty? Stevie rolled her eyes and shook her head, getting as annoyed with their thoughts and attitudes regarding her beloved. He won't touch you unless you're a threat to him. I think he made that abundantly clear as I am. You may now take your leave and go back to work. Rowan stood beside her as she was disheartened. Stevie, it's only been a few weeks. It'll take time for them to become completely adjusted to your reign as their leader. She took his hand and nodded. I think my hopes and dreams are too far-fetching. Her eyes welled up with tears. Am I expecting too much of them too soon? Rowan cupped her face and rested his forehead on hers until Gabriel cleared his throat. Lest I remind you, Lord Shaw, that Her Majesty tis a married woman. Gabriel yelled across the court while he approached them. I will thou us escort Her Majesty up to her quarters to her midday nap time. He offered his elbow. Thine arm is yours. Gabe, why are you talking like that? You do realize it is 1886, Stevie asked, placing her hand in the crook of his arm. So I need to stop there, because it's like counting down. But I want to thank you all for your patience of sitting through these 3 chapters. If you have any comments or anything, you know, feel free to shout them out. So this is LD signing off. Peace. Have a good night.